In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. As we close out the week on this Friday, we celebrate today the feast of one of the greatest saints of the 20th century, Saint Teresa of Calcutta, better known as Mother Teresa. So many things I love about Mother Teresa. But there's one of the contemporary saints where she was born at a time where we could actually see her. Video and television and interviews and YouTube and all kinds of stuff, so we can see her in all her glory. You know, so funny. She's this petite nun from Calcutta. Well, actually, she's from Albania, who went to Calcutta to start the Missionaries of Charity, doing incredible work for the poor. And we want to honor her today. We want to talk about her today, especially how are you living in the spirit of Saint Teresa? How are you living in the aura of Saint Teresa of Calcutta? What kinds of things are we doing to help the poor and the oppressed? But how does she inspire us to live a simple life of humility? You know, and there's so many things that I take from her life that I try to incorporate in my life every day. Humility, simplicity, you know, prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, which was absolutely essential, a part of Mother Teresa's spirituality. We would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. We're honoring St. Teresa of Calcutta, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And if you're not able to call, you can always send us an email, beacon@ew10.com. And we received a number of emails this week asking some questions, and like to take on one today. This is from Nancy, who says, my previous priest regularly preached on marriage. Some of the parishioners were unhappy with this, including a family member. The truth is loving and does convict. Preach at every age to convince hearts hearers. So she's asking a question. So I guess what she's saying is that the priest that she has now in her parish does not preach regularly on marriage or maybe some other issues that she believes are important in the life of the church. And so I'm not going to necessarily talk about any particular priests or deacons preaching. I think the issue for a lot of people is, why don't we hear more preaching on issues that are more relevant to the culture? You know, for example, there are some people that are priests and deacons that are afraid to preach on difficult issues, not because the issues are difficult in and of themselves, things like pornography or in vitro fertilization or abortion or things like that. Or marriage, right? Marriage is a man and a woman, things like that. And I think that, well, they may be afraid to preach because they're afraid of kickback and they're absorbed in the culture and they're afraid to preach the truth and love. That may be it. But I think that maybe most of the reason is that it's the mixed age of the people at Mass. So you have people that are obviously adults, but you also have teenagers. You have younger kids, children that are there. And so they're afraid if they preach on these issues that it may not be, you know, it may be too much, or it may be not age appropriate for the level, sensitive issues being spoken about with younger people there at Mass. I mean, that's part of it too. But I don't shy away from that. I think, you know, the key is, you can say how do you say something? It's not about not saying something. It's about how you say something. You know, it's not necessarily what you say, but how you say it. So you can talk about things like transgender or marriage or, you know, abortion or different difficult kinds of issues. But you have to say it in a way that's obviously appropriate to the age, but also without shying away from the truth. And there's a way you can do that. It just takes a little work and a little effort. And again, so many priests now are overwhelmed, you know, especially in dioceses that I've been in where there are merging parishes or clustering parishes and things like that. You know, the priests are really being worked. And so, you know, they have to prioritize things. And so sometimes maybe taking the time to prepare a kind of homily that's sensitive and appropriate to the audience there at Mass is not maybe high on the priority list. I don't know, you know, but again, I'm not judging them. I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but there's a number of reasons why sometimes priests are afraid to preach the truth and love, but you have to just encourage them. You know, and I've said this before, what I would do is I would go to the priest. I'd say, Father, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for being the father of our family here at the parish. You know, we're so grateful to have you leading our parish family, leading us to heaven. And Father, you know how difficult it is for teenagers out there. You know, so many of them see, you know, a confirmation like Catholic graduation, even though they're going to Catholic school and youth group. And we're trying really hard to keep our kids engaged and in a relationship with Jesus. We're trying to model that at home. But Father, you know what we think would help if you were able to talk about things at Mass that we're trying to talk about with our kids at home? Because they hear it from us, they're like, oh yeah, Mom and Dad, like, whatever, you know. But if they hear it from you, Father, if they hear it from the head of our parish family, if they hear it from someone else besides the two of us, you know, maybe it'll sink in. Maybe they'll hear it differently. Maybe it'll hit their heart differently. So, Father, can you please help us keep our kids in the faith? You know, what about that kind of approach instead of complaining to Father about everything under the sun? You know, so maybe that approach might encourage the priests more to not be afraid to shout away. Now, I know priests, and I've been in these parishes, but they're not afraid to talk about, just like put it out there, which is good. It's the truth in love, but it always has to be in love. It can't be accusatory. It can't be finger pointing. It can't be in it. It always has to be in love. But we can't shy away from the truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth and the life. So ultimately, when we talk about these things at Mass, we're actually talking about the teachings and the of Jesus and incorporating those teachings more deeply into our lives, even in difficult circumstances. Like this homily coming up for this Sunday, you know, that's a tough homily that Jesus is preaching, hating father and mother and sacrificing things to be my disciple. Wow. You know, so we're interested to hear how the priest, I know what I'm going to say. I got my homily done, you know, so I know what I'm going to say. So, it'll be interesting what other priests and deacons preach about this weekend. All right. So what I'm not afraid to preach on is the truth and love, partly because of the great crew that brings you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who's screening your calls, and Michael McCall, who's doing social media, along with Pedro Quiles, who helps out. But we have our main man, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I am good. Ready for the weekend. My daughter's at camp, so it's just me and my son for most of it. So it should be, bros night out typically is we get to eat whatever we want because my wife and my daughter are very picky. They're very particular. So hoping to get some of that bro time in this weekend. What about you?
Well, I'm actually home this weekend, believe it or not. So I was in the parish yesterday doing some administrative work. And I'm going to be in the parish this weekend preaching at Mass. And so I'm just going to be home. I got a ton of work to do. I got, you know, homilies to prepare for the pilgrimage coming up to Italy. I've got some writing projects. I got a bunch of speaking engagements I got to finish prepping for. I've got a chapter in a book that I'm trying to finish this weekend. So a lot of stuff going on. But I was thinking about you today on my walk. One of the things on my Spotify playlist was Jump Around by House of Pain, mm-hmm. You know, the rap. And I was thinking,
because has the windshield wiper sound effect on it?
Yeah, but you know, it's not a Beacon of Truth playlist song at all.
Not at all.
But was there's a back-to-back line in there. It says, I've got more rhymes than the Bible has psalms. And just like the prodigal son, I've returned. And I was laughing as I was thinking about that. I said, wow, even a song like this, you know, they're quoting from the Bible. They're incorporating scripture into the rap. And I was thinking, there's a number of songs, rap songs and otherwise, that do incorporate spiritual, scriptural lyrics into the thing. But how come you don't hear songs like that for the Quran?
yeah,
or for the writings of Buddha,
mm-hmm,
or Confucius. You know, a lot of those songs are scripture. Again, I think this is just like when I talked about before on the television, you know, why they mock Jesus and stuff and not Muhammad and stuff, because they know who the real God is.
Yeah.
And even though they may not be faith-filled or anything, they still know somewhere deep in themselves that there's a connectedness to God there, and it's through the scriptures, through the Bible.
Well, and I feel like in moments where a whole song wouldn't necessarily be a playlist edition, we should definitely do like Lyric of Truth, because when Bible verses are taken out of context, we can oftentimes apply that to our life, and then we've applied, well, it's the Bible. I'm just doing what, well, hold on. That's actually not the way the verse is actually written. So I think you are onto something.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to look at it. Maybe we do a show on that, like verses that are taken out of context often. And I think that'd be a fun show to do.
Amen.
But today we're celebrating the feast of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa would love to hear how you've been inspired by her spirituality. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
For a Friday.
Yeah, there you go. Going into the weekend. People may be driving home right now, maybe sitting in traffic stressed.
Yep.
Need a little something just to, just chill. It's all right. It'll be all right. You'll get home. You spend time with your family. Maybe go out to a dinner and a movie tonight, Friday night.
Yep.
Something like, just chill.
Week's busy enough on its own, right?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Some nice music to ease us into this weekend. That's awesome. I just want to take a deep breath. I'm going to go for a nap now.
Right, I know, right?
What are you doing?
It's the tryptophan of music right here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Sivers, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast day of one of the greatest saints of the 20th century, St. Teresa of Calcutta. In fact, it's interesting. You know, when you take a poll, you look at the polls of the most popular saints of the 20th century, she's right up there. There's four. There's St. John Paul II. There's St. Therese of Lisieux. There's Padre Pio. And there's St. Teresa of Calcutta. You know, right up there with the big group. Love that. And would love to hear today from you. How have you been inspired by the life of St. Teresa of Calcutta? You know, for me, it's in three ways. Would love to hear from you. For me, it's her simplicity of life, her humility, and her devotion to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, and especially adoration. So would love to hear from you. What in her life has inspired you? How are you living your life differently because of the influence or spirituality of St. Teresa of Calcutta? Give us a call today, my friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to give you some great reading for your weekend, as we've got an awesome book in the religious catalog called Faith and the Emotions, How to Open Your Heart to God's Transforming Grace, Peace, and Happiness. That's a lot to do on the weekend, but we definitely have that, as Father Wojciech Giertych actually has written this book, giving us more insights into what we can do to better consume our emotions and give those to God. Find out more about that in the religious catalog, Faith and the Emotions, when you go to EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Sefer Telechim, or the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament, that we hear in each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we connect that psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're continuing our walk through a pretty long psalm, through Psalm 37, which is we're going to take a look at verses 27 through 31. Again, Psalm 37, 27 to 31. This psalm is by David. So all the psalms in book 1, Psalms 1 to 41, are attributed to David. The prescript is just very simple: Ha David, of David. And the way David starts this one off, do not fret because of the wicked. Do not envy those who do evil, for they wither quickly like grass and fade like the green of the fields. Right? I love that. So David is taking a look at the world around him, and he said, oh, sometimes you get so jealous of people who have more than you or who enjoy more success than you. But Davis, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that, because we're not living for this world. We're living for the next. So don't have regrets. Again, we're talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta. Look at her life, the beauty of the simplicity that she lived. That's what I'm talking about. Love that. So we're diving in at verse 27, Psalm 37, verse 27. So David says, how do I get this? That if I'm not going to be envious of the wicked and those who do evil, who seem to get good things on earth, we need to keep our hearts and mind focused on the things of God. How do I do that? Well, David answers us in verse 27. Then turn away from evil and do good, and you may abide forever. I love that. So as David said, the key to life forever in heaven, the key to life with God, is turning away from evil and doing good. So not being jealous of or envious of or emulating or copying the life of those who do evil just so we can have the things that they have, you know, the material happiness, because that's fleeting. You know, and David talks about it. It's just fleeting. We want to live a life and focus our minds and hearts on things that are going to bring us life forever. That's the key. Life with God forever in heaven. That's the goal. David continues, for indeed, the Lord loves justice and will never forsake his faithful. Ah, see, God is a God of justice. So at the end of their life, those people who are living a life of disputation, who are living their lives apart from God, whose God are the things of this world, God is a God of justice. And they will see justice, maybe not in this world, but certainly when they die and stand before God to be judged, that's when God will exude justice. So we don't have to worry about them on this earth. We just have to worry about getting ourselves and our families and those we love. And as many people as we can through effective evangelization to share the witness of God for life forever in heaven. All right. So God is a God who loves justice and will never forsake his faithful. We know that because he sent his only son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He did not forsake us in our sin. He did not leave us in the grasp of death and hell. No, he brought us out through the victory of the cross, conquering sin, conquering death, so that we can have a clear path to heaven. But we, as Jesus is going to allude to in the gospel this weekend, we have to become his disciples. We have to pick up that cross and follow him all the way to eternal life. And sometimes that is not going to be easy. You know, sometimes it's going to be challenging. But we should not shy away from always striving to live our faith with passion and conviction, to keep our hearts focused on the ultimate goal, being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the saints, including St. Teresa of Calcutta, forever in heaven. So David continues, the unjust will be wiped out forever, and the descendants of the wicked destroyed. Right. So we see a parallelism here in the psalm where David's talking about the unjust be wiped out forever. So being wiped out forever is an allusion to hell. Right. Where not because God sends or condemns anybody there. They people are in hell. Why? Because they made a free decision to separate themselves from God's love forever. They made the choice. God extended the invitation. They chose to say no to God's invitation forever. And that's what hell is. Again, God doesn't condemn anybody or throw anybody there. We choose to be there. And because God loves us, he loves us enough to freely choose even to say no to him. Even to say no to him. All right? And the descendants of the wicked destroyed. But, you know, Jesus kind of has something to say about this too. The descendants of the wicked will be destroyed. They'll only be destroyed if they continue in their sin, right? They will only be destroyed if they continue in their sin. But God has given us the avenue for them to even our descendants to break out of that and to live with God and his love forever. The just shall inherit the land, and they shall there they shall abide forever. So what is the land? The land flowing of milk with milk and honey, right? The land where we're going to be with God for heaven. That's ultimately what we're going to inherit. Our inheritance is not here on earth. Our inheritance is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what the wicked don't realize. So one of the things that we can do is not just laugh at the wicked and point, but we need to witness to them by the way we live our lives. That maybe if they see, as it says, as Jesus says, to see the good things that we do and turn their lives around. You know, just like the prodigal son, to turn your mind around, to come back to the Lord, come back to our senses, to come back to the truth. Right. So it's not about judge. God is the one that's going to judge and accuse and maybe even condemn. Not us. We instead should be witnesses to God's love.
Yeah, I think the thing we have to remind ourselves is we may be the only Jesus most people see all day. And so while that's kind of an honor, but it also allows us to realize in accountability, how are we best representing Christ? How are we best representing ourselves as he lives in and through us? Otherwise, we just mirror that of the world.
Yeah, that's right. And people need to see Christ when they look at us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredibly important how we, the decisions that we make and how we choose to live.
Yeah.
You know, that we're not living for the things of this world, but witnessing to that, showing people that, not just by paying lip service, but witnessing in our lives. You know, I think that's incredibly important, not just pay lip service, but to, as you said, they'll know that we are Christians by our love, right? So
Amen.
We need to show that love. And to finish up here, the mouth of the just man utters wisdom, right? Chokma. So that's the wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we speak the words of God. We speak the words of the Spirit. And his tongue tells forth what is just, right? Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. So that is the key. We have to speak the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Our tongue tells forth what is just, the justice and the righteousness of God. Not just with our mouths, but again, by the witness of our lives, how we choose to live in God's love. That's the key. And David says, how do we know that when we're speaking the truth in love, the law of God is in his heart, right? Because see, so that speaking the truth, the tongue that tells forth what is just is coming from our heart. It's coming from a place of deep intimacy and relationship with the living God, right? It's not just coming from a simple acknowledgement of our own achievements. It's not just coming from a place of satisfaction with our lives and things of this world. No, it's coming from the fact that our hearts are turned toward Christ, that our hearts are focused and centered. We're making decisions and saying things that are coming out of this relationship of love and intimacy with the Lord. And so that's what people need to see and hear. Right. So our actions have to match our words, or else we'll be living contradictions. In fact, it may turn people away from Jesus Christ because they say, wait a minute, you're saying one thing, but you're living another way. So you're just a hypocrite. You know, just like Jesus called out the hypocrites, some of the Pharisees in the Old Testament. I mean, sorry, in the New Testament, we have to be careful not so Jesus doesn't call us out on our stuff, right? They were always turning our hearts and our lives toward him. So the law of God is in his heart. Where does that come from? The natural moral law that God has planted in the heart of every single human being where you can come to know him and his love by reason alone. His steps shall be saved from stumbling, right? So because we're living in the light of God's love, because we're following the path, right? As John the Baptist says, quoting Isaiah, that the Lord makes crooked ways straight, right? And so because we follow him, we will be saved. Jesus fell under the weight of the cross and got up and kept going, and we need to do the same thing. We may stumble, but we will never fall or give up or lose hope. St. Teresa of Calcutta today would love to hear some thoughts from you about her. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
chill.
Yeah, keeping it chill. Everybody just take a deep breath.
Yep.
You know, relax, ease into the weekend, enjoy yourself. Maybe read some scripture, pray yourself with your heart for Mass this weekend.
You know,
that's the way to do it.
We're talking about, you know, how, you know, we represent Christ. Like, I feel like the more we can be in the chill, the more I believe that represents Christ.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Again, and one of the things that I think we can do that is by making our lives simpler.
Yeah.
You know, turning off the TV and turning off some social media and just spending time having conversations with people or just cracking a good book or spending time in the Word or adoration or something like that. We just, you know, just make life a little simpler. This life is already busy and hectic as it is.
Yeah.
You know, more find more time to chill. And that music leads us right into that kind of mood. Love that.
Yep.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're honoring the memory of one of the greatest saints of the 20th century, St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately known to us as Mother Teresa. That's how many of us remember her. And today is her feast day today. Would love to hear from you. How has your life and your spirituality been affected by St. Teresa of Calcutta? I know in my own life, three things: simplicity of life, humility, and devotion to the Eucharist are three things that I've definitely drawn from St. Teresa of Calcutta spirituality, incorporated into my own life. Would love to hear from you how she has influenced you, her spirituality, and her works, especially with the poor. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Want to, of course, celebrate with Real Presence Radio this week as they are ready for their fall live drive starting on Tuesday. If you're in Minnesota or the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Wyoming, lots of places, of course, listen to Catholic radio. You may not necessarily know where it's coming from. You've just gravitated to it. So make sure you're supporting with your best gift and be praying about what that might look like. Of course, Real Presence Radio, a big partner with EWTN Radio.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, we're celebrating St. Teresa of Calcutta today on her feast day. Would love to hear from you how you've been influenced by her life, her work, and her spirituality. St. Teresa of Calcutta today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Karen has been patiently holding, calling from Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 130. St. Teresa Calcutta. Karen, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, thanks so much. I want to tell you how St. Teresa of Calcutta inspired me. And I was a school counselor, and I'm now retired, but about 18 years ago, I started a backpack program at the school. And a backpack program is where you send food home with the children so they have something to eat on the weekends. And I always admired Mother Teresa, especially for taking care of the poor in Calcutta. And, you know, she's just a little tiny spitfire of a woman, which I also admired. And, you know, she just never seemed to take no for an answer. But when I started the program, I was not Catholic, not a practicing Catholic. I was baptized Catholic, never had any faith formation, never went to church. And the school nurse who started the program with me was giving me a hug, and we were about ready to launch the whole program. And she said, "Karen, how are we going to make this work?" And I just looked at her and I said, "I don't know, just by the grace of God." And honestly, that was the first real prayer, faith-filled prayer that I've ever prayed in my life at that point.
Wow.
So, and at the time, I didn't understand what kind of an impact that was going to have on my life. Ooh, gotta take a deep breath. So, as we started the program, I had no idea, kind of like mother starting the network, had no idea where money was going to come from, and just put my faith in that it was going to happen. And I had the children help me run the program at the school. And then when I retired, I was lamenting over, like, man, how am I going to continue to do this and still feed these kids? Because we're in a 70% free and reduced poverty school. So what I did is I had to change my mindset, and I the kids who used to help me, I thought, yeah, the parishioners, the senior citizens, the parishioners who have nothing else to do, we're going to put them in charge of making this program work. So I shifted everything over to my church. In the meantime, I had become Catholic. Best thing that's ever happened to me, guys. Let me just tell you right there. Praise God for that. But then I decided to make Mother Teresa our, I guess you'd call her our patron saint of the program. And there was a quote that I heard from her once, something like, if you can't feed 100 people, then at least feed one, feed just one. And so that's kind of our mantra. And we are running strong, and not one day have we ever, or 1 year have we ever had to stop the program or run short of funding for due to her intercessory prayer to God. I just know it. So that's my story.
So Karen, you said this started 18 years ago and you're still going strong?
Still going strong. We just got a $30,000 donation. Praise God.
Karen, I've got chills. I literally sitting here tingling right now. That is so awesome. I love that. And I love the fact that this work, this very simple thing that you decided to do, that I'm telling you, you may not know it now, but I'm telling you, Karen, these young people's lives have changed because of very simple things. Sometimes we think, oh, I have to be this mega influencer. I have to do all these things to get people to. No. It's often the simple things that make the biggest difference in people's lives. And something just as simple, 18 years I've been doing this program, still going strong, now under the patronage of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And you came into the church. Oh, my goodness. What a tremendous testimony and what a tremendous blessing your program is, again, under the patronage now of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Man, I am so glad you called. You definitely made my weekend for sure. That is awesome. Would love for you to join Karen today in calling us, talking about how you have been influenced. Your life is influenced by the spirituality, the work of St. Teresa of Calcutta. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Suzanne is calling from Abilene, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Suzanne, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment that in my reading of the saints, something that I've really been struck by, that I initially discovered reading a book of quotes for every day of the month from Mother Teresa, and then also reading about St. Therese of Lisieux, and I believe that St. Teresa of Calcutta was very much devoted to St. Therese of Lisieux, but anyway, many saints stress that we don't have to be seeking the grand and glorious big gesture to make to please God, that it's the small gestures that will have the biggest impact. Very much like the woman before me said, if you can't feed a bunch of people, feed just one. Mm-hmm. And St. Teresa of Calcutta made the famous saying about wash the dish, not because it's dirty, but because you love the person that will use it next. It's those very small gestures that add up into the big gestures that God is hoping to come from us. But the small adds up. We don't have to try to start out big. So that was just the observation I was
going to make. And thank you for that, Suzanne. Just really wonderful observations. Those little sayings are just, they're gold. They're absolute gold in the lives of people who love Jesus. And that's, again, one of the things that attracts me to St. Teresa of Calcutta is the beauty of her simplicity. Just how simple she lived her life. And again, just feeding one person at a time led to a worldwide. Now, I mean, she won the Nobel Prize. She spoke before Congress and boldly you know, that was an, at that time, that was an administration that wasn't pro-life at all. But she got up there and she spoke boldly the beauty and truth of the pro-life message. She had a powerful devotion to the Eucharist. She once said, "We cannot separate our lives from the Eucharist. Jesus has made himself the bread of life to give us life. Night and day, he is there. If you really want to grow in love, come back to the Eucharist. Come back to adoration." What? Yes, I love that. So thank you so much, for Suzanne, for sharing some of Mother Teresa's beautiful, simple messages that still resonate, not only in our hearts, but will resonate in the hearts for generations to come. We're talking about Saint Teresa of Calcutta today on her feast day. Would love to hear how your life has been impacted or influenced by the work, the spirituality, the teachings of Saint Teresa of Calcutta. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jean-Paul is calling from Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 130. Jean-Paul, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, hello, Deacon. This is Jean-Paul Wright, and I had the most amazing experience in my life when I was a Salesian of St. John Bosco. I met Brother John while I was doing the novitiate there, and he was a missionary, a charity brother with Mother Teresa. So I got to learn about that. And I asked Brother John, well, if I wrote a letter to Mother Teresa, would she write me? And she said, and he said, yeah, if it's vocation material, you know. So I wrote Mother Teresa. So I was dealing with some, you know, sinful addictions and stuff as a brother. And then she wrote me a letter. She personally typed a letter, signed it, and sent it from India to me. And then God called me out of the Salesians. And at that time, I met my future wife, Susan, who wanted to be a lay missionary charity, and I was so attracted to Mother Teresa because we were feeding the homeless in Los Angeles. And so we together joined the lay missionary charity, and we prayed with the brothers a lot, and then with the Salesian sisters, and then we'd have meetings every month with the missionary charity sisters in Los Angeles. And my wife and I are the happiest couple in the world. We have the lay missionary charity prayer book. So we do the Angelus, you know, at 6, 12, and 6, and we do examination of conscience at 12 and 6. And we go to daily mass, and we feed the homeless, and we close down the abortion clinic. And we are just so happy to be in touch with the sisters still in Gallup, New Mexico. We do a jacket drive, a winter jacket drive here near Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And we bring like 100 pounds of jackets to them. And then we pray with the sisters there in Gallup and help all the poor Indian people that they help there, the missionary charity sisters.
Oh, that's fantastic. Man, what a beautiful testimony. See, what I love is Mother Teresa lived in a way that people can follow her example. See, in the way, Jean-Paul, the way you just explained, you didn't do exactly what Mother Teresa was doing, but her work inspired you to do this apostolate, do this work, in a smaller way with what she was doing. But still, it doesn't matter how big or how small, it's the impact, right? It's the heart with which you, the desire and the heart with which you put into that work, no matter how simple it may be. You know, that's the beauty. And that's the way we honor St. Teresa of Calcutta, again, by the way we live, by our witness. And that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. awesome, awesome testimony of the impact of St. Teresa of Calcutta in your life, Jean-Paul. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa on her feast day today. We'd love to hear how your life has been impacted by her words, her work, her spirituality, her mission. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. John is calling from Superior, Wisconsin, listening on Real Presence Radio. John, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon Harold. God bless you for what you do.
Thank you, John. So great to hear from you today.
Mother Teresa, literally, as I was telling your call screener, saved my life at a very difficult time. I'm a retired nurse, and my nursing career was very varied. But when I started doing home and hospice care, I got somewhat discouraged. I had just retired from the Army, from being an Army nurse. And I was giving more care for people following Mother Teresa's example and not billing them for it. Mm. And my bosses caught me, and they made my life very difficult. I almost lost my nursing license, but I was paying for these things out of my own pocket because I saw the need. Mm. And I continue to see that need every day. And even though my health is poor, I still try to help. It's that simple act of caring, just a simple act, that is so powerful and does so much good. And that's what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you so much for that, John. What a beautiful call. You know, again, there's a theme in all of the calls and all the things we're talking about. There's this beautiful theme, again, that I talked about as well, simplicity. Right? Simplicity. Mother Teresa lived in such a way that we can all, in some way, in our own way, the way that God has called us to do, to emulate what she did. You know, it doesn't matter how big or how small. Look at this. John paying out of his own pocket. And they still got mad at him, at his work. Look, it's not like he was there losing money. John said, instead of charging them, he would pay out of his own pocket for people who were indigent, who could not afford care. That is a beautiful thing. The hospital or wherever he was working, where John was working, they should have lauded him. They should have said, look at this guy. This is the kind of people that our organization hires, people that care about the people that they're giving nursing care to, not just about the money, but about the person. You should have been lifted up, not torn down, you know, making your life difficult. But you know what? You did the right thing. You hung in there. And now you're having some health challenges yourself. And so, you know, let's all pray through the intercession of St. Teresa of Calcutta, who helped so many who were sick and who were poor, to help John in his time of need now. So let's all ask for the intercession. In fact, here's something you could do. Here's something I take from St. Teresa with regard to my prayer life. One of the things that Mother Teresa did when she wanted Mary's intercession, of course, besides praying the rosary, of course, she would do a novena of memorares. So you know the memorare. Remember, almost gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. So Mother Teresa would pray nine of those, a novena of memorares for an intention that she had in her heart. I do that all the time. I learned that from Mother Teresa, and I still incorporate that in my life today. Maybe that's something all we should do. Let's pray some memorares when we, you know, have some time today for John. Right? That's a beautiful thing to do in memory of St. Teresa of Calcutta. That's who we're talking about today, St. Teresa of Calcutta on her feast day. How have you been inspired by her life and her work, her words, her mission? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Sandy, watching on YouTube, one of our regular viewers on YouTube. Sandy, great to hear from you. She says, St. Teresa of Calcutta, a great saint for all generations. Absolutely. 100 years from now, people are still going to be talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta. Let's go to Letty, calling from Hondo, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Letty, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, hello. I am calling because I have, I happen to own a book that is a collection of about 365 daily reflections featuring Mother Teresa's essential teachings on finding the beauty in servicing others and living a meaningful life through small acts of love. And I would say that my small acts of love is I always try to look for the people in need to provide either if it's food, if it's clothes, even if it's monetary help, I will do whatever I can to go out of my way and help them out. And it's just I do it because I feel like that's my call to be there for someone that needs me. And if I have it, why not, you know, why not give it to others who need it more than I do? And this book is really amazing because if I'm having a good day, bad day, when I go into that daily reflection, it just helps me have a more peaceful kind of day.
Oh, wonderful. What book is it? Do you know the name of it offhand?
The movie? No, I don't.
Oh, the book that you were told with the quotes,
oh, the yes,
365
yes.
quotes.
The book is Do Something Beautiful for God.
Oh, okay, yeah, I've heard of the, you're right, there's like a movie or something, a documentary about Mother Teresa called that, right? I remember that, yeah.
This is the book on the daily reflections, and then the movie, I cannot remember, but one of the most important parts that stuck to me is where she tells the priest that's interviewing her, I am not the pencil I'm the pencil that only God can move. It's just a beautiful part of the movie that makes me realize God is in control. You know, like I'm no mm-hmm. one to write my story, you know.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. What a wonderful reflection. Again, you know, the simplicity of her words, she wasn't like a doctor at a church or anything like that, but the beauty and simplicity of her words has moved and touched the lives and the hearts of so many, as Letty just so beautifully shared with us. We're talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta today on her feast day. How have you been influenced by her life and her work and her mission? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Chris is calling from Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Chris, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. Mother Teresa has influenced me by showing me how she handled emotional suffering as well as physical suffering. When I read about her life and I saw how she came from a beautiful, cool environment, and when she would walk on the streets of Calcutta, it was so hot. She would comment on it, made her think about hell, how hot and horrible hell would be. And she saw so much suffering, and it did challenge her faith. She suffered from depression, but you'd never know it because she always had a smile for people. If that's all she could give, she gave even that. And when she did feel depressed and when she did question why, she would go to the Eucharist and she would pray. She never, never gave up. And I was also thought about how you hear a lot of times people blame God for the suffering in the world. And she saw so much, but she just leaned in even harder.
Yes.
And I also read that when she died, there was a power outage in Calcutta on the moment of her death, and it went dark. And it was kind of symbolic of depression, but then she was raised and honored for all that she did and what a great saint she was. And the last thing is how her love and her compassion just witness to people. It didn't matter their faith, their worldview, or their culture. It cut through all that. People who normally would have argued or had something to say negative, they could not argue with her love and her compassion.
Ah, so true. What a beautiful testimony. Thank you so much for that, Chris. And Wendy on YouTube says, yes, Deacon, I do as well. I live 5 minutes away from the gift of peace. I have a friend there. They really treated my friend with such love and care. Oh, so beautiful. What a great way to end the show today, talking about St. Teresa of Calcutta. Again, I want to if you weren't able to get on the call today, do those nine Memorare Novena, right, if you have a prayer request. So let's do that. Now, next time, we're going to talk about the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary on her birthday. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting PodcastCentral at EW10.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.